Hello, fellow Earth folks. I'm Annie Gigg, GYG, here on CFRU 93.3 FM and CFRU.ca, available wherever you are in the world. Warm welcome to Better Me, Better World, the show for growth-minded change makers, difference makers, and happiness makers. In the previous episode, I spoke about letting go of toxic people, which followed the prior episode about letting go of toxic beliefs, thoughts, and behaviors. And none of this letting go, I'd said, can happen without self-awareness. In this episode, we delve more deeply into awareness, as well as the other two A's of what I call the triple A compass, or triple A GPS, if you'd rather, that guides your life journey. Its constituent parts are authenticity, awareness, and attitude. But before I carry on with this, as an aside, I want to say I'm composing this episode on my 68th birthday. I'm quite certain such an activity would not be high on many people's wish list for things to do on their birthday, but creativity, in this case through writing, is one of my core values. It's something I enjoy doing. So in this way, I'm honoring me, the unique, weird, flossome me. Being my birthday has also served to remind me, to remind you, that although I've been around for some time and I've been on my BU journey for decades, and I truly believe I have insights from life experiences that could be of value to others, I in no way have all the answers, or even most of the answers, pertaining to my own life, let alone anyone else's. I'm a work in progress, as is everyone, and will be so until I take my last breath. And I don't know what happens after that. Through this Better Me, Better World series, I want to encourage you to start putting hard, scary life questions to yourself. It's in this self-asking that your answers, insights, your ahas, your self-love will germinate. And in the growing of a better you, you're growing a better world. Now, back to the matter at hand. I just mentioned self-love. Someone who goes by the name Coach Bobby said, "Life mirrors your internal compass. Love of self directs you towards finding more love in life and in others." In this internal compass I'm speaking about, called the AAA compass, as I said, it's not the magnetic North Pole that directs you. It's self-love. In previous episodes, we've considered the various aspects of self-love, starting with non-judgmental self-acceptance of where you're presently at in life. We've talked about developing the skill of faking it until you can make it, about aligning with your values to find meaning and purpose, understanding how your influencers have shaped you into the unique, flossome person that you are, and how letting go of redundant, weighty saboteurs is an enlightening act. Perhaps you've set out on your exclusive BU journey, gathering evidence for self-approval. Maybe you've peered into the selfies of self-love, investigated your core values, and considered ways of lightening your load as you go along. These are all essential acts of self-love. As per the quote I just shared, love of self is your internal compass. In this episode, the workings of that compass are described, so you can operate and maintain your compass and feel confident that it will guide you in the direction you want to go in life, no matter how many times your way ahead changes. The three parts of the AAA compass that enable self-love are authenticity, awareness, and attitude. Being a lover of quotes, as you've likely discerned, I'm first going to share one quote on each of the A's. Brené Brown, whom I've quoted elsewhere, says about authenticity, "If you trade authenticity for safety, you may experience the following: anxiety, depression, eating disorders, addiction, rage, blame, resentment, and inexplicable grief." End of quote. If you suppress or hide the real you in favor of blending in or to protect your fragile ego, your life as it was meant to be lived will never happen. Regarding awareness, Eckhart Tolle said, "Awareness is the greatest agent for change." In the previous episode, I shared a few other quotes pertaining to awareness, And you may have heard from an even earlier episode about the vital importance of converting unknown unknowns into known unknowns. With new awareness about something you were previously unaware of, you can choose change. Sliding in a bonus quote here, adapted from Anthony DeMello, wisdom tends to grow in proportion to your awareness of your ignorance. Finally, concerning attitude, I've chosen a quote adapted from my mentor, Viktor Frankl, survivor of the Holocaust. He says, "Everything can be taken from a person, but one thing, the last of human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way." We've touched on perspective awareness and reframing being aspects of attitude. We'll be delving more deeply into the unparalleled power and freedom of attitude. So now we'll open up the AAA compass, so to speak, to learn how it works. The first A in the AAA compass is authenticity. Synonyms of authentic are real, genuine, original, true, bona fide. An authentic person is not a copy of anyone else. They are not fake or false. Paraphrasing Brené Brown's quote that I just shared, if you create a false self in an attempt to conform or hide behind a mask to meet someone else's expectations or put on character armor to keep your vulnerable, real self protected, your real, genuine, true self is going to get sick, like a plant being kept in the dark. Knowing this is not new. As far back as 200 CE, or perhaps even earlier, the Gospel of Thomas says, "If you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will save you. If you do not bring forth what is within you, what you do not bring forth will destroy you." Your real self craves the sunlight. Your real self wants to grow. I know this firsthand. I used to pride myself in my ability to keep my true self hidden behind a false persona. Do you remember me saying how, because of my fear of failure, I wouldn't try my best at school assignments and exams? Because then, if I didn't do well, it wasn't because there was something wrong with the real me, it was simply because I didn't try hard enough. That's an example of living inauthentically. And that's the logic I used to hide my real self. If I displayed to others the persona I believed they wanted me to be, people pleaser at work, then if they didn't like that persona, well, the real me was protected from that dislike. But hiding the real me away like that reinforced my beliefs that I'm really not good enough. I'm really not likable. I'm really someone to be ashamed of. I lived in fear of the weird and different me being exposed. My well-fortified low self-esteem and self-worth prevented me from taking risks. I spent a lot of energy suppressing my authenticity. It's like trying to hold beach balls underwater. They just want to pop up to the surface. I felt something was missing in my life, holding me back, and I blamed others and circumstances for that. But it was the real me that was missing and the false me that was holding me back. It's not easy becoming real when friends and society are endlessly saying, this is how you must look, this is how you must act, this is how you must be. And there definitely is comfort and safety in conformity. It's easier to go along with the so-called normal beliefs, thoughts, and behaviors, so you're seen as normal, being like everybody else. As E.E. Cummings said, to be nobody but yourself, in a world which is doing its best night and day to make you everybody else, means to fight the hardest battle which any human being can fight and never stop fighting. Being real takes courage and a willingness to be vulnerable. It means living in alignment with your core values, the values that lie at the heart of the real you. It means daring to be different. It means acknowledging that you're flawed, but believing you're awesome, worthy of love and respect nonetheless. It requires mindfulness or awareness in the moment as to whether you're being true to your real self. Actualizing your real self requires you to be aware of who you really are, which we'll dive into momentarily, and express without inhibition your realness. My authentic self is emerging like a picture in a jigsaw puzzle when the pieces all start fitting together. One piece is accepting my flossome, weird, different self as I am and expressing it without apology. Another piece is no longer needing everyone to like me or approve of me. Another piece is aligning my behaviors with my values. Another piece is personal boundary work. Another is letting go of beliefs that don't serve me. And so many more pieces that continue to come together. Without authenticity being part of the AAA compass, your love of self will be stifled and will not develop sufficiently to serve as your guide through life. Inauthenticity keeps you small and sick and stuck. The Be You journey offers you support to be you through a process of fostering self-awareness and all the other selfies of self-love, self-acceptance, self-worth, self-esteem, self-confidence, self-forgiveness, to name a few, and eliminating saboteurs to self-love. When you are real, your happiness is genuine. As Mahatma Gandhi said, happiness is when what you think, what you say, and what you do are in harmony. I'll share one last quote on authenticity by Steve Jobs, founder of Apple, perhaps with precognition, dying at the age of 56. "Your time is limited," he said, "so don't waste it living someone else's life. Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living with the results of other people's thinking. Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your own inner voice. And most important, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition. They somehow already know what you truly want to become." I invite you to consider the following. How often do you feel you're authentically you in the company of others, at home, at work, at play? Are you readily swayed by other people to believe, think, or act in a certain way? What are the biggest obstacles to you being your real self? Becoming authentic is conditional upon two things. Number one, you being aware of who you really are. And number two, you expressing your realness in your beliefs, thoughts, and behaviors. We'll now consider what it means to be aware of who you really are. Awareness is the second part of the AAA internal compass. Perhaps you've heard both the terms awareness and mindfulness in previous episodes. Before proceeding, let's consider the distinction between the two. Awareness is knowledge or perception of a phenomenon, fact, or situation that comes to you through your sensory experiences. It's having consciousness or understanding of something. For example, you're aware of a fluffy white cat sitting on your lap. You can see the cat, feel it, and hear it purring. Awareness is the noticing that happens on the main level of your mind, so to speak, directly processed from stimuli your mind receives through your senses. In this example of the cat on your lap, from your sense of sight, touch, and hearing. Mindfulness is a mental state achieved by focusing your awareness on the present moment for the purpose of acknowledging and accepting your feelings, thoughts, and bodily sensations. Mindfulness is the voluntary, conscious observing from a higher level, the observation deck in your mind, if you will, the sensations around what's happening on the main level of your mind. You're mindful of the sensations of comfort, companionship, warmth, love, happiness associated with the fluffy white cat sitting on your lap. Awareness can happen without mindfulness. You can be aware of the cat in your lap, see it, feel it, hear it, but so absorbed in a fascinating book, you're not consciously observing any sensations around the cat. You're not mindful of the cat in the moment. But mindfulness always involves awareness, because if you're not aware of the cat in your lap in the first place, and maybe the cat jumped on your lap after you dozed off, you can't observe any sensations associated with the cat from the higher level of your brain. You might say mindfulness is a higher level of awareness. It's being aware of awareness. You were introduced to the Eckhart Tolle quote, "Awareness is the greatest agent for change." And you may recall me saying in a previous episode that self-awareness is the only selfie of self-love that I prioritize. The other selfies begin to thrive only when you become aware of the need to work on them and you begin to undertake the necessary work. You can only align with your values once you've become aware of what they are. And before you can begin letting go of toxic beliefs, thoughts, and behaviors, you need to have awareness of them. If you want to trade in the inauthentic you for the genuine you, you need to be aware of who the real you is. So where does this awareness come from? It comes from no place other than practice, practice, and more practice. The practice of, firstly, noticing what you're experiencing through your senses, and secondly, in the very moment of experiencing, climbing up into that higher level of your mind and observing the effect of the experience on you. With this non-judgmental observation from a higher level, where you're safely removed from triggered emotions down on the main level, you're able to introspect, reframe, and then choose to respond to the situation in the moment in a way that honors the higher version of yourself, instead of responding in a way that erodes your self-love. I'll talk a bit later about choosing your response, but first we'll talk about moving from awareness into mindfulness into introspection. Note that whenever the observed effect is a feeling of shame or anxiety or any other mental, emotional pain, the discomfort is a sign making you aware that you have work to do in this area to enable the actualization of your real self. I'll share three personal examples of uncomfortable situations that pointed me to the need for inner work, moving from awareness to mindfulness to introspection. Situation number one. My boss reprimanded me in front of my coworkers for a mistake I made. From the main level of my brain, I had awareness, i.e., I was noticing what was happening. When I moved to the higher level of my brain from awareness to mindfulness, I noticed I was feeling humiliated, embarrassed, and ashamed. While still on the higher level of my brain, through introspection, i.e., discerning the reasons I'm feeling this way, I recalled I'm a perfectionist at work, uncomfortable with making mistakes, and I believe I'm a failure when I do make a mistake. After presenting all three of my personal situations, we'll come back to my chosen response for each that followed my introspection. Situation number two. I'm aware that my daughter was to have arrived home 30 minutes ago from her road trip, and she hasn't called me. Scooting up to the mindfulness level, I'm noticing I'm feeling worried about her and angry with her at the same time. I feel disrespected. Still on the higher mind level, my introspection signals that I'm ruminating on possible bad scenarios. I'm believing I'm not worth her while to take a moment to call me. Situation number three. I'm giving a talk and noticing at the awareness level that I'm not connecting with my audience. They're not engaged in the topic of my speech. I notice how I'm feeling about that, i.e. I'm being mindful and realizing I feel like a fraud, pretending to be a capable speaker. I'm feeling rejected. Why am I feeling this way? My introspecting points to my belief that I'm fundamentally unlikable. I'm unrelatable. I'm not good enough. In the first example, my introspection enables me to see that my perfectionist tendencies and associated belief that I'm a human failure when I make mistakes are getting in the way of me feeling confident and knowing everyone makes mistakes. To err is human, and seeing this as a learning opportunity to develop my competencies. By being mindful, you can diffuse an emotional bomb and instead choose a self-loving response, which we'll get to. I invite you to practice awareness and mindfulness. The next two or three times you notice yourself experiencing an uncomfortable situation, no matter the significance you attach to it, as soon as possible thereafter, capture with pen and paper or on your phone or wherever you wish what you were noticing happening. what you were noticing about how you were feeling with regard to what was happening and why you think you were experiencing those things. Your introspection must always be I-focused in an I statement, not the reason I'm angry is because my boss is an insensitive jerk. Blame kills self-awareness. To complete the picture of my three personal situations, we move on to attitude. I said your triple A internal compass is self-love, as in the quote from Coach Bobby, which I'll share again. Life mirrors your internal compass. Love of self directs you toward finding more love in life and in others. If you don't have self-love, you can't find love elsewhere and you can't share it. Without your internal compass working properly, it's virtually impossible to find your way towards meaning, fulfillment, purpose, and un-F-withability. So far in this episode, we've spoken about two parts of the AAA compass, authenticity and awareness. The first part can function only if the second part is functioning. And the third part, attitude, either functions well with the first two parts to make your compass work beautifully, or it doesn't function, rendering your compass totally useless. Attitude is defined as a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. Some synonyms of attitude are mental outlook, mindset, perspective. You may recall from an earlier episode that your beliefs push your thoughts, and your thoughts push your behavior. Thoughts may be substituted with attitude. Your beliefs push your attitude, which pushes your behavior. To change the way you behave or respond to stimuli or circumstances, it's necessary to change your attitude or unsettle your way of thinking. And changing your attitude requires letting go of sabotaging beliefs. As Viktor Frankl said, between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. An excellent example of the power of attitude is found in a TED Talk given by Elizabeth Blackburn, a Nobel Prize winner in physiology or medicine, for her research into what impacts the quality of life right down at the cellular level. The title of the talk is "The Science of Cells That Never Get Old." Dr. Blackburn was interested in learning how you can extend the number of years in your life when you're free of disease or healthy, productive, and zestfully enjoying life, what she calls your health span. Her research on pond scum led her to a study involving caregivers, specifically mothers of children with chronic debilitating conditions that could, understandably, give rise to enormous and prolonged psychological stress for the mothers. Many of the mothers in the study looked worn down. When the health of their cells was charted in comparison to the duration of their caregiving, there was an obvious direct correlation. The more years exposed to the stressful caregiving, the more the deteriorating impact on the cells. But further analysis indicated something very interesting. The more a mother perceived her situation as stressful, the greater the negative impact on her cells. Some mothers were resilient to stress, experiencing their situation not as a threat, but rather a challenge. For these mothers, the degradation of their cells was remarkably less. The study concluded that you do have control over your healthful lifespan right down at the cellular level. If instead of seeing a situation as a stressor, something negative, you have a bring-it-on attitude, you literally do not age as much. Attitude matters, not just to your health span, but to your quality of life as a whole. Let's go back now to my three personal situations, this time to focus on the response to a situation that I was able to choose because of my awareness, mindfulness, and introspection. You heard it called earlier reframing or changing your perspective. Your response is essentially the attitude you're choosing to adopt in the moment. Here are the attitudes I chose. Number one, the boss's public reprimand. I chose to adopt the attitude that all humans make mistakes. Mistakes are lessons to grow on. I'm flawsome. It was inappropriate for my boss to reprimand me in public, so I will tell him in private that he was being disrespectful to me. I'm protecting my personal boundaries. Number two, my daughter's non-call home. I chose to adopt the attitude that my ruminating and worry are a waste of time and energy, accomplishing nothing. Her reason for not calling me has nothing to do with my worth and respectability as a person. It speaks to her character, not mine. Not feeling disrespected, I don't feel angry, but I will explain to her how such a call would be greatly appreciated. Number three, my speaking engagement. I chose to adopt the attitude that the audience members don't know me, so they don't dislike me as a person. My takeaway from this experience is that good speakers do their homework ahead of time and ensure they're right for the job. I'm good enough and getting better because of this. I said that awareness and mindfulness only develop with practice. Likewise, the ability to choose a healthy response or affirming attitude only comes with practice, practice, and more practice. In the beginning, chances are you may have to fake it, act as if you've got this, when in reality the fear or rage or uncertainty or lack of confidence is still there, barely held in check. By now you know faking it is the perfect way to start your practice. Your competency and the skill of choosing your attitude will go through the four stages of development explained in a previous episode, so that over time you'll create those new neural pathways and master the skill of enhancing your life quality without even realizing you're doing it. Are you prepared to unsettle the mindset you've had? If so, be gentle with yourself. So what if you could have, should have, would have responded better? Any small move in the direction you want to go is a step in the right direction of your BU journey. So there you have it, your AAA internal compass that guides you, not relative to the North Pole, but with the authenticity, awareness, and attitude that enables self-love. Your proficiency in using this compass increases with practice. However, the compass isn't going to set you on one course for the rest of your life. You'll be continuously calculating and recalculating your way forward as your self-awareness and self-love develop. Openness to change, continuous recalculation, is a requirement of becoming uneffable, as insight builds on insight and new options appear. Change in this context doesn't imply you're becoming someone different. It pertains to you becoming who you were meant to be, and that is a fully alive, healthfully interdependent person. Life is evolution, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. As put forth by Stephen R. Covey in his classic book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, we humans evolve through three main phases in life: dependence, independence, and interdependence. I like the analogy of the wolf to illustrate the phases. Like humans, wolves are social creatures. The wolf cub is entirely dependent on its mother for survival. An adult lone wolf is capable of surviving independently as a solitary creature, but a wolf's best chance for keeping well fed, healthy, and able to reproduce is when it's living in a pack. Interdependence best ensures the survival of the members of the pack. Humans are dependent on others, primarily parents and family during childhood and early adolescence, the formative years. This is your period of greatest physical evolution, and it's also the phase of the majority of your learning about how to fare well in society so that you can become independent, fend for yourself. Moving from dependence to independence involves self-mastery. And as discussed in previous episodes, self-mastery achieved through practice involves nurturing the selfies of self-love and letting go of some of the formative years learning, certain toxic habits, beliefs, and behaviors, the saboteurs that interfere with your ability to love yourself healthfully. When your relationship with yourself excuse me, is compromised, your relationship with everyone else suffers. Interdependence, the forming of healthy interpersonal relationships, and having a positive attitude towards others is scientifically known to be one of the primary factors of longevity and life quality. Interdependence means interacting with others comfortably, enjoyably, productively. It enables you to collaborate and cooperate effectively in order to solve problems and address issues to the benefit of all. To conclude, effective use of the AAA compass will dependably lead you, no matter how many recalculations are required, towards the pinnacle of your evolution, healthy interdependence, so you can experience fullness of life and contribute most fully to life. In the next episode, I'll talk about the importance of rewarding yourself through your evolution. I'll be back same time next week, same place here at CFRU 93.3 FM or CFRU.ca. The shows are recorded, so alternatively, have a listen when it works best for you. Until next time, be you. I'm Annie Gigg.